Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Family, relationships, self-care. It's time for life advice from licensed professional counselor Jenny Curry on WICC 600.
Jenny, welcome to the show. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. How are you?
I'm good, good.
All right. So glad to have you here. I'm part of the generation that would be taking care of parents and kids. Typically, baby boomers and Generation X are dealing with this right now. Most times, our self-care isn't a priority, but you're saying that that needs to change. Why?
Well, you know, it was interesting. So I was at a Super Bowl party, and I was talking to one of our listeners, and I actually said, well, you know, what do you think I should talk about this week? And he was telling me about how he is in this, you know, what they've kind of coined this, I don't know if it's an official generation, but they call it the sandwich generation for the people who are caring for, you know, elderly, aging parents, and then who also may have adult children or even raising their grandchildren still at home. And our listener is in the situation where, you know, his wife has an aging mother, 95, in a nursing home. And he's trying to, they are both trying to care for her. Well, at the same time, they still have an adult son who's living at home. And, you know, as you might imagine, that can create a lot of challenges while you love your family at the same time. When you have that many stresses pulling you in so many different directions, it can be really easy to forget about the most basic kind of self-care. And if you decline, right, then nobody's there to care for, especially the aging parent.
And Jenny, I find that I have this conversation a lot with my mom. I think it's easier from a standpoint where I only have to care for my son at this point. My parents are still obviously self-sufficient and don't really need me. But I do find she's in this category where, you know, her mom lives with them, has lived with them for 20 plus years, but she still has two kids in college. And I find that, you know, too often it's so hard for her to, you know, take a break for just a second and to just, you know, maybe just sit in bed for an extra hour in the morning. You know, you know, like, it's not a big deal, or go out and get your nails done. But I do find that there's this need for, listen, if I take time for myself, it means that I'm taking away from somebody else I could be helping. But I would imagine that's very hard to break that mindset. You know, does everybody kind of feel that way once you are balancing two different generations at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, you know, when you love your family, it's difficult to just kind of shut that off. And I think what's interesting and what's happening is we have people who are living much longer, right? I mean, which is a good thing, but people are living into their 90s even. And then at the same time, we have this other, you know, generation here, you know, millennial generation, where a lot of them are getting married much later, living at home. They're buried in debt because of school, or sometimes honestly just lack the motivation to go out and kind of make life happen. And it's creating some really unique stresses. Or in some cases, these people are even raising their grandchildren if the children are not around or they're incarcerated. So it's tough. I think when you care about your family, there's going to be that struggle.
We're talking with Jen Curry. She is a professional counselor. And it's funny you should bring that last subject up, because there was an article I was reading yesterday. It said that people don't care very much about milestones like getting married, having kids, or buying a house anymore. Is that because of elderly parents? Is that because they're afraid to take on that kind of responsibility?
Yeah, I think it may be. I mean, I think the fact that there's so much debt now, especially from school, and I think people, you know, especially the millennial generation, they watched a lot of their parents go through divorce. And so I think they're more hesitant to want to jump into getting married, which then also delays getting a house. Or careers, you know, careers have become very important. And so some of these other things that we used to think of as a given and these kind of like rites of passage as an adult are kind of flip-flopping a bit. But I think the important thing to remember is that even with all of that going on, Tony, like people in your, you know, in your generation situation, you have to remember you still have to take care of yourself. Because if not, nobody's there for you, you know?
I was just going to say, Jenny, I think that's the biggest takeaway is the fact that, you know, again, you know, this is a conversation I have a lot with my mom where I see this, and she and Tony are about the same age. I find that if she doesn't take care of herself, it's not even about just getting sick. You get like burnt out to the point that either you snap at your kids, or you snap at your mom, and then you feel badly that, you know, that you kind of ran out of patience. But if you don't take that time to take care of yourself, you're going to run out of steam. I mean, we're human. And I just think at some point, if you don't take, you know, self-care into consideration, then both generations are going to suffer because now you're out of the equation. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And I thought it was kind of interesting that my the listener I was talking to was saying that he and his wife really enjoy going to work. They're still very capable of doing their jobs. They like what they do, and that's actually really therapeutic for them. So I think, too, if you have a job that you love, like, don't feel guilty. Just enjoy it, you know, and make sure you get to your own doctor appointments. Take a little time to rest, a little time to exercise, because you're critical. You're critical in all of this.
Jenny, how do we change that mindset of our self-care isn't important? How do we change that? Not easy, right?
It's not easy. And I think some of it, for some people, I think it does take them getting a little bit burnout to realize that they need to make a change. But I think, you know, I think about the illustration of when you're on a plane, right? And they tell you that you have to put your own mask on first if the plane were to go down before you put it on your child or on anybody else. And because if you're not breathing, you can't help anyone. And I think it's much the same. I think if we don't take care of ourselves, then we are really no good to anyone. And ultimately, you know, no one is our complete responsibility either. And we have to remember that we're human too.
Jen, we've run out of time, but if people want more information, if they want to get in touch with you, what can they do?
Sure. They can call 203-293-8554 or my website, JennyCurryCounseling.org.
All right. Sounds good. Jenny, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
A look back at the most significant event today in history. Well, according to Tony and Melissa, WICC 600.
All right. 231 years ago, 1789, George Washington was unanimously elected the first president. Also, 82 years ago, 1938, Disney released Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
And that was the very first full-length animated film any place. And, you know, at Disney, when I look at that, even on this small computer here on this screen, when I look at it, I could be wrong, but I don't think any cartoon since compares with it. The animation is just, it's perfect.
It's intricate.
It's intricate. It's absolutely perfect. There was no computers in those days. You're talking artists that had to sit down with a pencil and a paintbrush, and every single scene that you see is painstakingly drawn over and over. I mean, just if Grumpy, if he goes to scratch his nose, how many drawings is that to get his finger up to his nose to scratch
yeah.
it?
Well, and you can't also ignore the fact that the color scheme, Tony, is probably one of the best.
Yep.
You know, even just with that scene alone, when they're walking across the bridge, that like wooden bridge or whatever, the tree stump, that might be one of the most iconic animated scenes of all time. And you're absolutely right. I'm pretty sure. So Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs has a very close piece to our heart because there are seven Sheks. There's my mom and dad and five kids. So we grew up, every year we'd go to Disney and we would have our shirts and each of us were one of the dwarfs. So Snow White, I've kind of followed very closely since I was a kid. And I know for a fact, Tony, that there were, I think, over 700 artists that worked on the animations and made, oh my gosh, thousands, if not millions of sketches to complete Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. It was as intricate as you're thinking. And I have to say, that was one of the during that time period, it was one of the biggest budget buster movies ever made, because I think they had put out a budget for like $250,000 or something. It ended up being more than $1 million just to be able to pay for the production costs. I mean, it was at that time one of the most expensive ballooned costs for an animated movie. I mean, it was astonishing. It was incredible. I don't know.
Now, Snow White was a fairy tale. Was that?
It's based on a book.
Okay, so that was around for years, long before Disney got a hold of it.
Correct.
But stop and think about it a minute. Now, every time you think of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you think of these characters the way they are in this film. I mean, before 1939, if your mom read you the story before you went to bed, you kind of conjured up these images in your head the way you thought that they would be. But now, if somebody reads a kid Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and they've seen this film, this is what it is. This is the quintessential way that it is when you think of Snow White.
Yeah, and Snow White, too, is, I think, one of the princesses that, to me, is one of the most iconic. I mean, obviously, you have Cinderella, of course, who's iconic for Disney because of her castle and everything and the glass slipper and all that. Same thing with Sleeping Beauty in Disneyland. But, you know, a fun fact, for the Hollywood Walk of Fame, I'm almost positive, Tony, she is the only princess, animated princess, that has a star on the Walk of Fame. She's up there with Mickey Mouse, I think Donald Duck, and Winnie the Pooh.
Probably.
No other animated princess
because
on there.
Because at the risk of you throwing your shoe at me, to me, there's no other princess. To me, she's the ultimate.
Right. I mean, she's got Prince Charming and all of that. And you know, and I agree. I think she... To me, like I said, I think if Disney didn't capitalize on Cinderella so much, she's the original. She's the OG, if you will, to me.
And the animation from this point on, think about it a minute. Mm-hmm. It's not as great as it was at this point. You look at Cinderella. You look at The Little Mermaid. It's not as vivid.
This set the precedent.
But after that... To me, it kind of like went downhill after the original.
Well,
if you
and
ask
then
me.
Forget about it. Once you bring the computerized into it, it's just not the same as hand penciled and doing it over and over and over. I mean, to me, this is every single scene you know was done by hand, and you could tell it that it is. I mean, when think about it, when you watch an artist do sketch drawings, to me, that's the most beautiful artwork you could see are sketches, because it's as raw and it just shows the pure talent, and there's nothing really altering it. And that's what this movie is.
Great movie, and it's upheld for 82 years, 83 years. It is amazing. It really, really is.